Hello, 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 hello. You know, sometimes I'll pray. You know, I mean, I pray sometimes, I pray all the time, but I mean, sometimes I pray, and sometimes I get down in different areas of, I don't know, you just lose faith in things, or you just get down. You get down. You can't be up all the time. I wish that was a case. I wish that was a fact. But reality is that there's good days. There's bad days. There may be even days that we doubt. Doubt God. Doubt God's word. That's a sad thing to say, but it's reality. It's reality. Sometimes things can be going so good, and you can feel so spirit-filled, you want to jump off the top of a roof like you're Superman, and your confidence. And there's other days that you just don't even want to get out of bed. That's me, maybe. Maybe that's not you. Did you ever get that way? Ever get down? Maybe something happened in your life. Somebody died. Kind of got down this week because there's a stray kitty that was coming around. Actually, it wasn't stray. I actually saved his life. It was snowing out and cold. And I'm walking down the road and I hear, meow, meow. Now, what in the world is that? And then I see this little fur ball. It's the size of my hand. Little black kitty cat. With blue-green eyes. They started out that way when she was small, but then they got to be the most beautiful blue eyes I ever seen. I said she was a stray, but she came and stayed with me once in a while. Most times she was outside. She liked it out there. And that was all right with me. And if you don't think about cats, they do what they want to do anyway. You have, they're part of your life, but you're not part of theirs unless they feel like it. And it's when they feel like it. They can be the most loving things one day, and for a week you don't see them. That's a cat versus a dog. Dogs always around. Dogs always there to love you. But anyway, I was letting her out, and she got fleas and was scratching real bad, so I bought her a flea collar. And so I let her outside, and where I usually call her, she'd always come. She'd always meow. She'd always come when I called her. She was very smart, very smart. In fact, I would walk her like a dog. I don't know if that's normal for a cat, but she was like that. And I'm not talking with the leash. I mean, she would just follow and go wherever I walked. I could walk wherever. She'd just follow me and then follow me right back. Strange. But anyway, I bought her this flea collar. And I don't know how. I don't know how she did it. 3 times that day, I went out and called. And I figured, well, maybe she must have went off to find some loving, or, you know, she just found something to chase. Went after a bird or whatever. But 3rd time, I something just like, man, something ain't right today. So I looked and looked, and she had her different spots outside that I would find her all the time. And so I looked at one spot, and there she was laying there. And I was like, Cheech, Cheech. There was no movement. inherit what she had done, and I have no idea. I have no idea how she did it. She put her arm through the collar all the way past her, not her ankle, her elbow. She put her, you know, once she got her past her elbow and past the collar, it was like locked in. And then she choked herself to death. I know it was Satan that did it. Because it made no sense. It made no sense how that could happen. It made no sense. Put it through my mind in a million different combinations. How could she have done that? How could she have done that? I mean, there wasn't enough room. I was, you know, smart how I put the collar on and made sure there was enough room to breathe, but not too much room where she could get it off. But there she did it. I don't know how. Well, I just told you, I think it's Satan. Satan wants to... Satan wants to make you hurt. He wants to see you cry. And he wants to take everything good out of your life. I don't know. It's been, I don't know, 5-6 days now. But I missed the little thing. She was small. She wasn't like a normal-sized cat. I don't know why she never grew that much. She was, went from the size of my hand to maybe twice, two hands. She was a small little kitty. But she had a whole lot of love. And I thank God for the time I had with her. But anyways, today I was thinking about eternal life. And I was thinking about her. And you can call me crazy all you want. But I know that pets are going to be in heaven. I know they are. Not a doubt in my mind. God told me they are. So they are. Why couldn't they be? Tell me why they couldn't be. I think they have souls. I believe that. You have a dog? Do you have a dog that dreams? I do. She dreams all the time. That means she has a conscience. She's kicking around and moaning, and sometimes she's wagging her tail, sometimes she's crying. She's got a conscience. Me and her are going to be in heaven one day. Same with Cheech. And so that made me think today about eternal life and where I'm going and where you're going if you're saved. And are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know where you're going when you die? Are you 100% sure? You can be. You should know. You should want to know. You should want to know where you're going when you're dying, because you're going to one of two places. We're just, a physical body here that, is the outside of what's inside, and inside we have a soul. We have a spirit. We have a spirit. Our soul lives forever. And it's through the spirit that we go in one or two places. One place is heaven. The other place is hell. One's pretty darn good to live forever in eternity with God. The other's not so good. That's to be in hell. Fire and flames and torments forever. And that's not my opinion. That's That's what God says. That's what Jesus said many, many times. It's what's in the Bible. That's actually our whole... Not our whole purpose. I was going to say that's our whole purpose in life. No. It's what we do after we're saved is our whole purpose. What are you doing with yourself as a Christian now? Are you living for God? Doing what you're supposed to do? Or are you out in the world? One's good, one's bad. Anyway, I wanted to talk about eternal life, that you can know you have eternal life, in case you're not sure about that. So, now here, I'm not going to give my opinion, because what I say doesn't mean nothing. What any man says doesn't mean nothing. When you die, doesn't matter what the preacher said, what a religion said, what a book said, what a friend said, what anybody said, what any man said, doesn't matter. It matters what God says and what he said. So, I'm going to tell you what God says about eternal life. Verily, verily, he says it twice. He doesn't say it once. When he says verily twice, that means, listen, listen to me. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is Jesus talking, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Period. That's John 6:47. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. We're all dead. From the time we're born, we're dead in sin. We got that from Adam and Eve. We're all dead in sin. There's only one way out of that. That's through Jesus. And he's the life. And he that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So once you're born again, you take on a totally different life, a new life. You're a new creature. You're born again. You're sealed by the Spirit. That's John 11:25-26. I'd say you could take a lot of confidence in that, couldn't you? If you believe. Gotta believe, though. Gotta believe. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're not all gonna stay in the ground. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So, when we die, we're gonna have a new body, a new glorified body in heaven. Praise God. If you get older, like I'm getting older, and you start feeling pains, and your body just is slowing down. It's not what it used to be. And it gets worse and worse the older you get. So I'm all for getting a new glorified body. Where I'm cruising around from stars to stars. Or wherever, doing whatever, man. As long as I'm with God and Jesus, that's all that matters. I guess that's one of my fantasies, is that I'll be able just to take a run and leap and jump from one star to the next. Who knows? Not a whole lot that God talks about heaven. As far as actually what we'll be doing. He does say we will be definitely glorifying him for eternity, as well we should be, for him giving us eternal life. That was 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. A little small sentence there, but what did Jesus promise? He promised us eternal life. 1 John 2:25. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. That's 1 Corinthians 15:21. That means since Adam and Eve and what they did in sinning in the Garden of Eden, God brought death to mankind. But also by Jesus being the second man, the second Adam, he brought resurrection from the dead versus all being worthy of death and hell. 1 Corinthians 15:21. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. If you haven't read the Gospel of John, which is different than the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're kind of one and the same. I can't help sometimes to believe that they all kind of came off each other, and somebody added one thing a little different, and somebody added something else a little different. And John comes off as totally, totally different. And I think it's actually the best out of the four in explaining God and his relationship to us. So if you haven't, read the Gospel of John. And don't set it down until you read the whole thing. And then after you're done, the next day read it again. And the next day read it again. And the next day read it again until it penetrates your heart. So you know the relationship of God and you, and what you're missing out on if you're not saved. That was 1 John 5:13. Okay, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, you're going to go one of two places. One of two places. And that verse is something that needs to maybe be broken down a little bit. And shall come forth they that have done good. I think what that should say is they that have accepted Jesus as their Savior on the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil are those that didn't accept Jesus. That's kind of what that means. Doesn't mean works, because works don't save us, and works don't keep us after we're saved. It's impossible to be good, whether you're saved or not saved. We're stuck in this mortal, sin-filled body until the day we die. And we always will have this nature in us, dueling with the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. And a lot of times we'll do things that we don't want to do. We can't even comprehend that we just did it, but we did it. We sinned again. But we're forgiven. That's John 5:28-29. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and then Christ shall rise first. So the Lord's coming back. The Lord is coming back. And when he does come back, those that are saved and born again are going to be the first ones to meet him in the air. They're going to be with their Father and Son. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Well, what's going on in the world today? I mean, this is a rigged plan thing by one of the four horsemen. Starvation. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. By the end of this year, we're in 2022 now. By the end of this year, things are going to get really, really bad. Don't think that the grocery stores are going to turn around and all of a sudden you're going to go back and then all of a sudden the prices are going to go back to normal or what you thought normal was. They're only going to get higher and higher and higher. And then even worse, you're going to find that stuff is just not even be available. It won't be there. Crops won't grow. Shipments won't happen. Trucks will get shut down. And it's all devised. It's all devised by one of these horsemen. I think this is the next thing I'm going to talk about is the four horsemen. So remind me. Remind me. I'm going to tell you their four roles and what they're doing now on this earth. And they're rocking and rolling now. They're rocking and rolling in these last days. They shall hunger no more. So for those that are starving, those that are hungry, and I forget the numbers, I think there's like 1 billion people that are going to go to bed hungry tonight. 1 billion people. So think about that. If you go to bed with a full tummy and you don't have pangs in your belly because you didn't eat that day, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them. I'm going to start from the beginning. They shall not hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. I guess just like I was crying a little while ago, that's not going to be in existence in heaven. There ain't going to be any crying anymore. No pain, no sorrow. It's going to be different. It's going to be beyond comprehension how beautiful and loving and wonderful heaven is. And you're not going to have anything that would make you cold or hot. Everything's just going to be perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Just like Jesus is perfect. That's Revelation 7:15-17. For God, you should know this one. This is something you probably see on signs here and there, ball games or whatever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, doesn't say it's broken up by creed or race, color of your skin, anything, except who you are, being unique in yourself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to put something in your heart, a verse in your heart, and you should put all these in your heart. If you want to remember, put it in your heart. Remember that one. He that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So Paul's telling you that there's two different bodies. The body that you're in right now, and there's the new body that's coming. Praise God, we're going to get a new spiritual body. That's 1 Corinthians 15:42 to 44. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the Holy Spirit that we're given when we are born again, when we're saved. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit. There's some that say, well, you got to be baptized by it. Well, that's ridiculous, because you are baptized with it from the time you're saved. From the second you're saved, you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that seals you. And he's got a whole bunch of things he does for you. I think it's on my hell page. I list towards the end of that page many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raises up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So having that Holy Spirit in you is like, I don't know, imagine it like a magnet. God's positive, you're negative. Man, when he sees you, he's just going to put us together and bring us together. He knows his own. He knows his own sheep. And it's through the Holy Spirit that he knows us. That's our connection to him. It's our seal. It's our everything. Just like a notary seal. When you have a document signed and that it gets the seal on it that says, okay, this is guaranteed. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. And Christ sees that in us. And that's what's going to keep us from going to hell. Because we have something that the world doesn't have. We have a new spirit and a new heart. We're born again. That's Romans 8:11. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It is what it is. It says what it says. Pretty cool, huh? God would do that for us. That's Revelation 21:4. I know I want a different... I want a different body. I want a different heart and mind and soul and everything in heaven. I want to be just like Christ. And that's what we're trying to do here on earth. Did you know that? We're trying to mimic Christ as best we can. And we mature in Christ. We're not automatically mature. We start out as babies. When you're born again, you're a baby in Christ. Just like a human baby, you're a spiritual baby. And for some, they grow very quickly. For some, they grow slow. For some, they never grow at all, unfortunately. They stay in baby mode. That's not good. You want to mature and become more and more and more like Christ. That was Revelation 21:4. For the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's only one way to have eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. There's no other way to the Father except through me. No other way. There's nothing you could do. There's absolutely no works, no anything. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't have $1 billion and say, okay, here, God, here's $1 billion. I'm going to buy myself in. No, don't work that way. There's only one way in, and that's the free gift that God gave us. That God gave us through God, or I mean through Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood on the cross for us. That's Romans 6:23. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So even though this body that we have now goes back to the dust, we're made by dust, created by dust, and to dust we shall return. But there will be a time when we wake up in another total different dimension with God and with Jesus. Praise the Lord. That was Job 19:26-27. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, what a man sows, he reaps. If you want to stay in your flesh mode, if you never want to have God in your life, well, you're welcome to do that. God doesn't force anybody to love him. Doesn't force you to love him. He doesn't force you to get saved. Doesn't force you to get born again. He offers it to you. He says, here it is. Here's my free gift. Take it. Take it. All you got to do is believe. Believe what my son did. Repent. Repent for your sins. We all have sin in our lives. To you, what are you doing? It's your life. Are you hiding in your sin? Or are you just outright just living your sin? Saying, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of my sin. Who cares? Who cares? Well, one day you're going to find out after you die what you chose is going to have a forever impact on you. And you're either going to reap life everlasting in heaven, or are you going to reap life everlasting in hell? It's your choice. Galatians 6:8. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, son of shame and everlasting contempt, hell, heaven and hell. Daniel 12:2. The dead man shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the death. So, you're going to have two peoples rising. Those that are still dead in their sin and those that are alive in Christ. Isaiah 26:19. For thou wilt not leave my cell in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's King David talking. You know who King David is, don't you? Greatest king that Israel ever had. Judah. And then he had his son, Solomon. Probably about the richest person that ever lived on this earth. Him and his 700 wives and 300 concubines. He's the guy that built the second temple. So, King David had a lot of faith, a lot of belief. So when he says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption," he's saying, I believe in you, Lord. I believe in God. And I know that there's a new day coming after I die. I know that there is an afterlife, and I know where I'm going. Just think about King David, too, in case you didn't know. He's the one that fought Goliath out on the battlefield. Young little buck. Here are the two armies of Palestine. The Israelites were fighting and losing real bad. Here comes this huge dude. Nobody would fight him, but King David said, I'll fight him. I'll defeat him. Nobody's going to talk against God. Our God. And get away with it. So he got his little sling and rock and killed him. Killed him because of his faith. So we should all strive for the faith that King David had. He had a lot of faith. Look up his life. Read about it. Read about his entire life. And he definitely wasn't perfect either. He had his share of sin. He actually had a guy murdered. A righteous guy. He murdered him because he wanted his wife. And he took his wife from him. Killed him. Wasn't his only sin. He had many more, like anybody that is somebody that is a lover of God. We're not perfect after we are saved. We're not perfect just because we love God. We got this sinful body, sinful thoughts come into our mind. You could be perfectly fine 1 minute, and the next minute, who knows, a half-naked girl walks by you and you get a lustful thought in your mind. And you can act on that, or you can run like hell away from it. You got to make the right decision. And that comes in your maturing with Christ. When you're a baby, you'll be maybe first like, and you fall like a crazy. But as you mature, you got more and more and more strength, and that doesn't happen. You just blow it off. Psalm 16:10, that was. But is now made manifest by the approaching of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So, what did God, Jesus, do? He abolished death for those that believe in him and brings eternal life through the gospel. The gospel is him, his dying on the cross, what he did on the cross, shedding his blood, believing in him, being raised on the third day. That's the gospel. That's 2 Timothy 1:10. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. There's only one way to have eternal life. You can try any other way, any other religion, any other way, but you're not going to find eternal life unless you go through Jesus. He is the only way, the only way. I am the way, the life, and the truth, period. There's no other way. There's no other way. He's the only way. And that's 1 John 5:11. For if we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, We have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So that means if our body... say you get in a car accident and you burn down to nothing. There's nothing left but ashes. Say you go scuba diving and drown, and the fish all eat you up. There's nothing left to you. It doesn't matter. Because this body is nothing. It's the temple that resides inside of us. That is God. You know we are the temple of God, don't you? 2 Corinthians 5:1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So, I don't know, there's shows on TV, I think one was called Cribs. You see these people that have these huge, huge houses. Imagine what God is capable of, what Jesus is capable of, where he lives. Can you even comprehend where he lives? I can't comprehend it. But it's got to be awesome. And he uses the word mansion. He didn't say in my field's house there are many, many houses or many caves. He said mansions. So praise God, we might not have a whole lot in this life now. But that's okay. This life is short. It really doesn't matter. People are so wrapped up in money and having to have things and have the nicest car and the biggest house and take the best vacations and, you know, have this, that, and the other. Guys that collect cars, they can't just have, you know, one or two or three and be happy. They have to have a building after building of cars. They ain't going to take that to heaven, I can tell you that. Whatever you have here on earth, you're going to leave here. You're not taking anything with you. So praise God that God has a mansion waiting for you. If you're saved, if you're born again, he's going to have a mansion waiting for you. John 14:2-3. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus is talking, saying his Father, God sent him, born of the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit. How miraculous is that? He was the second Adam born. And he's saying, all that which he hath given me, all those that are born again and saved, they can't lose their salvation. There are some out there that say that you can have your salvation and lose it. That's not the truth. That's a lie. They give reasons why you might lose it. Like maybe you sin again. Well, who doesn't sin again after they're saved? Who doesn't have that possibility to sin after they are saved? You know, there's many that have sins in their life before they're saved. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's sex. Sexual perversions of some type. Smoking. Doing drugs. Whatever. So you get saved and God gives you the ability to get over those things. And he doesn't want you to do those things. But what happens if you do? Does that mean you lose your salvation? No. No. A million times no. just means you messed up. And just like you repented of your sin before you got saved, you're going to repent a million times after you're saved. If you don't, then you're in the same stock as being Jesus, and I don't think that's the case. That's actually an impossibility. Impossibility. You're going to sin again. So on the last day, he's going to raise all of his children to everlasting life. John 6:39-40. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So what does that mean? It means what it says, that we're going to be different creations. I don't know how that works with having our conscience that we have here and now, and that it's the exact same thing when we're in heaven. I don't know. Only God knows. I don't really care. I really don't care. I hope I'm not the same with all my deficiencies. All my failed abilities. So, neither marry nor given in marriage. So, it says what it says. That's what it says. But we can't die anymore. We're going to live an eternal life. And we're equal unto angels. You know that Satan was an angel? Satan was an angel. He's still an angel. But he's an angel that let his pride take him to this earth. And eventually he's going to be in hell forever. He controls the earth now. He's going to have a forever hell. It's going to be horrible. And who's going to be there with him? The souls of those who rejected Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be with a good angel than a bad angel. So, think about it next time you say, well, I'm going to stay living in this life and do what I want to do and not care what Jesus thinks or God thinks. I'm going to take the road to hell. If you do that, well, it's your choice. Your choice. God gives you that choice. That's Luke 20:35-36. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My sheep. My sheep. Jesus is the one that leads us. He is the, I can't think of the word. Shepherd, the great shepherd. Great shepherd that we follow. We follow through his word, through prayer, speaking to him through prayer, hearing him through his word, and living a life that is accounted worthy in being what we are called to do. We are his, and we follow him. And he gives us eternal life, and we're never going to perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Any man pluck them out of my hand. So once we're saved, we're saved. Nothing or nobody can take us out of that reality. That's John 10:27-28. And finally, I'm going to end with this last verse. And there's definitely lots and lots more verses But then I'd be going on for hours and hours and hours, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing me anyway. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is Jesus talking at the with his 12 disciples during Passover. Passover was something that the Jews remember, do in remembrance of what happened in Egypt. They sacrificed a lamb, took its blood and put it upon the posts, two side posts where they were living. And that signified when the death angel went by, that if he saw that, he would go by. If he didn't see that, he would go in and kill the firstborn. And so God is now saying, just like the lamb in that ritual, he is that lamb. He is the Lamb of God, just like John said when he walked up to the bank and he saw him there by the Jordan River. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." So "and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him at that last day." John 6:54. Well, praise God, I hope that I gave you the ability to know that you can have eternal life, and that if you're born again, you have eternal life. If you're not saved, you better get yourself figured out real soon in these last days, because we don't know one day to the next anymore what's going to happen. And people are just going to start dying like crazy. And if you die in your sin, you're not going to have an eternity with God. And that's something that should bother you a lot, because you don't have to go to hell. But you're going to make a choice. You're going to make a choice. If you're not saved after you stop listening to this, you're going to make a choice. Well, I'm going to do what I want still. And, you know, maybe one day I'll think this over a little bit more, and maybe I'll get this eternal life thing. But for now, I'm going to just keep living on like I am. Well, that should be scary to you. Because the thing about God is he only gives you so many chances. So many times where he speaks to your heart. And I pray he's speaking to your heart right now, that you can have eternal life. If you don't understand how, just go through my site. I spent the last year and a half, 2 years writing stuff down. Not me. I mean, I get amazed when I go back and read what I wrote. It wasn't me that wrote it. It was God. Absolutely 100% God that wrote it. It's him that made me go out and buy a computer to learn how to use it. It's him that got the name for the website, who taught me how to make a website. I learned how to make a website. Can you believe that? Praise God. God gets all the glory for anything that has to do with Last Days Church. Not me. Any of the writings. Everything. Not me. I want nothing to do with it. It would scare me to think that I put myself into it. I want nothing to do with it. I give God all the praise and glory. So, all right, friend. You can have eternal life. It's just whether you want to have it or not have it, and where you want to spend your time for the rest of your eternity after you die. Do you want to spend it in hell, in eternal torments, flames, or in heaven, in mansions and beauty and an incomprehensible place of joy and peace, a place of no more death and crying, tears. God bless you.